This is from The Distant Hours by Kate Morton. Hush! Can you hear him? The trees can. They are the first to know that he is coming. Listen! The trees of the deep, dark wood, shivering and jittering their leaves like papery hulls of beaten silver. The sly wind snaking through their tops, whispering that soon it will begin. The trees know, for they are old, and they have seen it all before. It is moonless. It is moonless when the mudman comes. The night has slipped on a pair of fine leather gloves, shaken a black sheet across the land. A ruse, a disguise, a sleeping spell, so that all beneath it slumbers sweet. Darkness, but not only, for there are nuances and degrees and textures to all things. Look, the rough wooliness of the huddled woods, the quilted stretch of fields, the smooth molasses moat. And yet, unless you are very unlucky, you won't have noticed that something moved where it should not. You are fortunate indeed, for there are none who see the mudman rise and live to tell the tale. This is from Hackers by Stephen Levy. Just why Peter Samson was wandering around in Building 26 in the middle of the night is a matter that he would find difficult to explain. Some things are not spoken. If you were like the people whom Peter Samson was coming to know and befriend in this, his freshman year at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in the winter of 1958-59, no explanation would be required. Wandering around the labyrinth of laboratories and storerooms, searching for the secrets of telephone switching in machine rooms, tracing paths of wires or relays in subterranean steam tunnels. For some, it was common behavior, and there was no need to justify the impulse, when confronted with a closed door with an unbearably intriguing noise behind it, to open the door uninvited. And then, if there was no one to physically bar access to whatever was making that intriguing noise, to touch the machine, start flicking switches and noting responses, and eventually to loosen a screw, unhook a template, jiggle some diodes, and tweak a few connections. Peter Samson and his friends had grown up with a specific relationship to the world, wherein things had meaning only if you found out how they worked. And how would you go about that if not by getting your hands on them? This is from Through Space to Mars by Roy Rockwood. Mark, hand me that test tube, will you please? The lad who had made the request looked over at his companion, a boy of about his own age, who was on the other side of the laboratory table. The big one or the small one? Questioned Mark Samson. The large one, answered Jack Darrow. I want to put plenty of the chemical in this time and give it a good try. Now be careful, Jack. You know what happened the last time. You mean what nearly happened. The tube burst, but we didn't get hurt. I have to laugh when I think of the way you ducked under the table. Ha ha, it was awfully funny. Maybe you think so, but I don't, responded Mark with a rather serious air. I noticed that you got behind a chair. Well, of course. I didn't want broken glass in my eyes. Come on, are you going to hand me that test tube, or will I have to come and get it? We haven't much more time today. Oh, here's the tube, said Mark as he passed it over. But please be careful, Jack.
Chapter 8. The Three Stages of Humility. St. Bernard broke down the virtue of humility into three stages: sufficient humility, abundant humility, superabundant humility. Sufficient humility consists in submitting to him who is one's superior, in not imposing oneself on him who is one's equal. Abundant humility consists in submitting oneself to him who is one's equal and not imposing oneself on him who is lower than oneself. Superabundant humility is the humility of Blessed John Paul II and the saints. Here are some points that we and our children can use to practice sufficient humility. 1. Realize that I am a son or daughter of God. This is the measure of our true worth. 2. Use all gifts, abilities, talents, and beauty that come from the goodness of God for His honor and glory.